Hello. Welcome. Thank you, Emily from the Blood Center, for letting us know about the need right now for blood donations. So November 18th, 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock, it's a Wednesday, we'll have this building opened up for a blood drive. And there are all kinds of links that you're going to see pop up in the chat if you're here on Facebook Live, like a link to our communication card where you can let us know that you are here, where you can plug in and get involved. We do have an event on Facebook for the blood drive. We'll have a link to online giving. If you're giving through the Overflow campaign, which I'm going to talk more about today, in the online giving section of newdaywi.com, there is a drop down for Overflow specific so that we can check our goals, so that we can make sure that we're on track in that campaign. So if you're giving through the Overflow campaign, give through that link on newdaywi.com, and you can set that up as monthly or one time or weekly or whatever is going to work best for you. So you'll see those links come up. Today we're continuing to talk about the vision, the 10-year vision of seeing more people connect to Christ rather than people falling away from Christ. And yes, I am going to talk about money. Bum, bum, bum. I'm just looking around for people to stand up and walk out of this room. No, they're not getting up and walking out yet. We are going to talk about money. And here's the thing. It's not just about money. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And what I want to teach you about is how to know God more. And what we find out is that it isn't that we know God more and then we trust Him more. It's we trust Him more and then we know Him more. So today is really about trusting God. It's about pouring ourselves out in order to trust that He is going to fill us up. So let's pray. God, as we come here with just all kinds of thoughts and concerns and worries running around in our minds, work that needs to get done, either on our house or outside or in our job, and just all of these things, I pray, God, that we would together, collectively, pour them out right now. Just pour out our concerns, our worries, so that You can fill us up this morning with Your Spirit, with Your peace, with faith in You. Teach us this morning, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I go around my neighborhood, I see things like there's a trampoline park in my neighborhood. You guys know, have you seen there's a trampoline park. It's actually at a building that we thought about buying at one point as a church. Now it's a trampoline park that on Sunday mornings, they have special toddler time. And right next to the trampoline park is the movie theater. And the movie theater on Sunday mornings has special priced kids movies. And anyone who's been involved in sports in our area with your kids knows that if you're going to advance, if you're going to go, big time in high school sports, then you've got to lead up to that with a traveling team that has games on Sunday mornings, tournaments that go entire weekends. So what we're seeing is a culture that used to think of Sunday morning as the time where we get training and instruction from the Lord, and now we're doing something completely different with that. We know that church isn't a building, that church isn't an event, and that the job of giving young people training and instruction of the Lord doesn't come down to an institution. It happens on a family level. Now, we know that. So we're going to work towards that. We want to teach that way. And yet I see what's happening in our culture as an indication that probably that's not what's happening. We're probably not trading Sunday morning church for now the families who aren't participating in a Sunday morning worship service are spending time together teaching their kids what it means to live in the disciplines of the Lord, to do what he says. We're seeing a culture just in our own neighborhood, in our own county, that more and more is falling away, not just falling away from church, but falling away from Christ. So our vision over the next 10 years is to look at how do we participate? What can we do to reverse that? And over the next 2 years, we're taking the first step in that. And that's what we're calling the Overflow Campaign, that threefold strategy for how we're going to stem that tide and turn things around. And I'm going to talk about that more, but I want to sit on this idea of raising people in the training and instruction of the Lord. My parents are here this morning, and when I was old enough to understand, I remember my dad was working on taxes. Now I was not old enough to understand the tax code. That isn't what he was teaching me. He had all the finances from the year spread out, though, and he thought this would be a good time to teach me about giving to God through the local church. So he took the annual giving statement from the church that we were a part of as I was growing up, and he said, I want you to see this, and I want you to see that this number is significant. And I want you to imagine some of the things that we could have done with this money. Now, to give you an idea, I don't remember the specifics, but I'm going to use a generic. If we were to look at the median income of Marathon County, the median income is about $60,000. And what my dad was teaching me about is a concept in scripture called tithing, which means a tenth. So if we were to look at the median income in Marathon County today and say a tenth of that, we'd be talking about $6,000 annually. So he's showing me a number that's something like that and saying we could have gotten the latest, greatest game systems with this, a better car, a vacation. There are many things that we could have done with this. And he said, but your mom and I have decided that it's more important to trust God. It's more important because if the disciples of Jesus are not contributing to the presence of the body of Christ in that community, the local church, nobody is. Nobody is. So my parents taught me that training and instruction of the Lord. Now, not everybody has had that training and instruction. So part of what I want to do today is teach a little bit more about that, because maybe that's something new to you. Maybe it's something you've never heard, or maybe it's something you've heard and you thought, there's just no way. And this is an opportunity for you to take a step to trust God more so that you know him more. If we look in scripture, we see in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, we see a father teaching a son, and he's teaching him about wisdom. He's teaching him about how to operate within the world. And we see it, he says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. So the father is saying to the son, you will have prosperity, you will have some kind of an income, some kind of produce, if you want something greater than what you have produced, take the first of what you produce and honor the Lord with it. and then see what he does. Now, I want to be careful because there is a thing out there called a prosperity gospel. There is an idea out there that if we give an offering to God, it's like putting a coin into a slot machine and we should expect to hit the jackpot. And that's not what I'm suggesting. I don't think that's what God's plan is. I think his plan is as we pour out and trust him, he fills us up. And I'm not just talking about financially. I'm talking about the opportunity to know him more, to know him better. And as we trust God, what are some of the things that we experience? The fruit of the Spirit, right? As we trust him, as we pour ourselves out and let him fill us up, we experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the part where, for those of you who are in the room, and I'm looking for those people who have done that and who can confirm to me, yes, I have experienced those things as I've trusted the Lord. Now maybe you're sitting there and you just can't imagine. Let me continue in Scripture and see that the readers of Proverbs, this would not have been news to them, because if we go back further in Scripture to Deuteronomy chapter 26, we see God giving instructions to people who were enslaved and are now starting a new society out of slavery, and God is teaching them how to do that. And he says in Deuteronomy 26, starting in verse 1, "When you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession, and you've conquered it and settled there, put some of the first produce from each crop you harvest into a basket and bring it to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored." Now, we know from a couple of weeks ago when Jesus talked to the woman at the well and she said, "What's the right place for God to be honored? Which place should we be worshiping?" And Jesus said, it's not going to be about place. It's about worship that is in spirit and in truth. And as the Spirit fills us up, that's what he was teaching her about, is this well within you that fills you to overflowing. That's God's Spirit inside of you. As the Spirit fills us up, we take worship with us wherever we go. Every place we step becomes a place where God is to be honored. So we understand that. Also, we live in a culture that has a hard time grasping that and understanding that. We live in a culture where 23% of people, when surveyed, said, if I was going to have a spiritual conversation with someone, I would want to have that conversation in a church building. So are we going to meet people at their level of comfort? I hope so. I think so. I think that's the wise thing to do, and that's why we purchased this place. Now, by the way, if you've been watching for a while, you know I'm sitting in a different spot. You can see a wall ripped up here. You can see that there's holes. What we're hiding, that there's more construction behind here. But part of what I want you to see is we're still working on this. We purchased this building. It's not done. It's not done. This is our stake in the ground. This is where we're saying we're having a center for ministry to go out. And if there's anybody who has a curiosity about Jesus or Scripture or what the Christian life looks like, that they know there is a place where they can meet a people who follow Jesus. So we're putting our stake in the ground. So when this talks about bringing some of the first of what you produce to the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored, that's what my dad was teaching me. That's what my parents modeled for me when I was growing up. Now, was I always good at that? Michelle and I, when we were poor college students, I remember getting one of those annual giving statements from the church that we were a part of, because when we were in college, we knew the importance. And again, it's not like we were immediately great at it. We knew the importance, though, of connecting to a local church. So if you're sitting there and you're a student, maybe you're a college student, or maybe you're going to be someday, you're going to move away from home, find a local church to connect to. So we were doing that, and I got our annual giving statement. And at that time, I mean, we were in our early 20s, and we had purchased a rental property, a huge 4,500 square foot house that was built in 1891. Do you think we were in over our heads? Absolutely. So we're strapped and we're over our head, and I get this annual giving statement from our local church, and I look at the bottom line, and I felt embarrassed. Not because anybody was putting any pressure on me. Maybe you come from a church background where your family was pressured, and that is not what we're interested in at all. I see warnings in scripture to not do that. It wasn't about pressure. It wasn't because anyone was looking over my shoulder. It was because I knew in my heart, this number does not reflect my love for the God who saved me. This number represents our leftovers, our scraps, which usually we didn't even have. So I talked to Michelle and said, we've got to turn this around. Now, there was no way, at least that we could see, that we could go from giving leftovers to giving 10% of what we had. We were just too strapped. What we did decide to do, though, was follow this concept of first fruits, the first of what we produce. So instead of getting a paycheck and writing, man, now I know I'm talking beyond my to a different generation, because we would write checks to pay our bills. So however you pay your bills, this is in olden times, we'd get a paycheck and we'd write checks to the different places that we had to send bills. And instead of doing that first, the first check we wrote was a check to our local church, because that is how we wanted to honor God with our wealth. The wealth, as much as it was, you know, it's not about having a lot. It's about whatever you have, giving a percentage of it, giving the first of it. So we decided we're going to set an amount, and that will be the first check we cut. So if you're sitting there and you just can't imagine this idea of 10%, and you've kind of been giving from your leftovers what you think you can afford, I challenge you to think beyond your leftovers and think, what would honor God? And don't just think about it, ask Him. That's what we've been fasting and praying about for 14 days now. Those of us who started that fast 2 weeks ago, we've been praying to ask God, what would you have me do? What role would you have me play in the accomplishment of this vision? What amount, God, would be honoring to you from the first of what I produce? So if you're at zero, if that's what's ordinary for you, then something, giving something, would be extraordinary. In this overflow campaign is your opportunity to do that, to do something extraordinary. Take ordinary, zero, do something, and you've done something extraordinary. And you're trusting God, see what He does with it, and then see what else you can trust Him with. That's what we did. So we started with our first fruits, so to speak, as Scripture talks about it. And then we committed to shifting how we managed our finances so that we could live off of 90% and give God 10%. So we eventually sold that property that was just way more than we could handle. And our commitment was the house that we buy to live in now is going to be something that we can afford with 90% of our income so that we can give 10%. And that has been our commitment since our early 20s. And we haven't looked back. Because what we have seen is when we trusted God that way, He did things in our lives that only He could get credit for. That's the beautiful thing. Is yes, finances were tight and we've had to make sacrifices. I don't wear the latest fashions and I don't drive the hottest car. And we have made sacrifices, and yet we've seen God provide for us in ways that only He could. And when He does, we say, thank you, God. We have an opportunity to honor Him. We have an opportunity to trust Him. So we've been at that 10% to our local church, and then we also give offerings in addition to that. We cut a check for $25 to the International Disciple Making Initiative, Kurt Olson, in order to see a disciple making movement spread. And I'm not saying this to show off. What I'm trying to do is teach. What I'm trying to do is model the way my parents did for me. We send money to a couple at Crescent Lake Bible Camp, who they live from, their income comes from donations, and they're doing a ministry in Rhinelander down the road from us. We give money to some friends of ours who, when we were in college, they worked for Crew and we were college students. And when we graduated, they said, would you join our support team, our financial support team? So we've been with them for, I don't know, what's it been? 5 years? I'm just kidding. It's more like 50 since we were in college. We've been, and they've moved to China. And so we're supporting their missions in China. We've got more than that going on. And we're able to do that not because we feel like we can afford it, but because we trust God. And as we trust Him more, we know Him more. We pour out in order to be filled up. So that's the challenge that I'm presenting to you and the opportunity that I'm presenting to you. And for us, it is a challenge. I just told you that 10% of our income is going to the local church already, and then more on top of that, going to different missionaries who we support. And what I'm saying is we're going to do more over the next 2 years. We've been praying about, God, what would you have us do? And He's given us a number to think about, and we've broken that down. We don't know where it's going to come from. We have tuition to pay, and we've got bills just like everybody else. And we're saying, we believe you're doing something here, God. We believe you're starting something. We believe you're establishing a place for your name to be honored. And not only that, but you've uniquely positioned a people to multiply beyond those walls, to grow beyond this space. That's what I've said from the beginning. This church is more than a place for us to add to. It's a place for us to multiply from. So the other challenge in the overflow campaign is that you'd be praying for multiplication. You'd be praying for people, the other 36% of people who said, if I have a spiritual conversation, I would prefer to have it in my home, in your home, in a restaurant or coffee shop, or at a workplace. A greater percentage of people would be willing to have a spiritual conversation outside of a church building. So yes, we need to establish this place. We need to put our stake in the ground here, and that's going to take money. It's going to take $100,000 to renovate the place. It's going to take $85,000 to put in a new parking lot. It's going to take $200,000 to completely pay it off. And if God were to do that in our midst over the next 2 years, what could we do with the finances that would free up? How could we pour out a blessing? Because that's a third part of the strategy, to pour out a blessing to those in need around us, to multiply disciples across the street and around the world. So I get excited about this. I get excited about giving more to God. And I want you to be excited about it too. Not because God needs your wallet, He wants your heart. and your heart just happens to be connected to your wallet. So we have a real opportunity here. Now, I talked about pouring out blessings, and what we have built into the plan is that as we reach certain goals and certain milestones, that we'll release money to some of our missions partners to help meet their greatest needs. I was talking to one of our missionaries that we support as a church and that some of us support individually. I mentioned his name before, Kurt Olson, and asking him, what are your greatest needs? And telling him about our plan. And he said, Aaron, it's great that you're talking about reaching certain goals and then releasing money. He said, I want you to pray about this, though. Is that really how you've seen God work? Or should you be giving as you are receiving, not just after you've received a certain amount? And so I took that and I prayed about it and I thought, that isn't even how God works. God works by us pouring out first and then seeing how he fills us up. So although as you go to newdaywi.com, as you click on the top at the overflow landing page, and as you read more about it, you'll hear it say, once we reach $100,000, we'll release $3,000 to meet some of the greatest needs in our missions. I contacted our church board and said, church board, what do you think of this? What if we release $3,000 before we even receive a dime in the overflow campaign? What if we pour out before, in order to see God fill up? And they unanimously said, yeah, yes, let's do that. Now, if I talked to an accountant and the accountant knew it's going to cost $6,000 for us to repair the heating system, it's going to cost about the same amount for us to do some plumbing work that needs to be done, they might say, you know what, take the $3,000 and invest it in what needs to happen in your building. That's what an accountant would probably say. And we're saying, no, we're just going to trust God here. We're going to take that $3,000 and we're going to pour it into where the greatest needs are across the street and around the world. So I'm excited over the next couple of weeks to announce to you what that contribution is going to be as we continue to look at what are those greatest needs and how can we start a campaign where we're saying we want to generate funds and start it by pouring out funds, setting an example. Now, New Day Christian Church already gives 10% of everything that comes in to different missions organizations. That's something we established that we want to keep up. Does that sound familiar? I mean, yes, we want to always be setting an example for what disciples ought to do. We're going to go above and beyond that in order to pour out and see God fill us up. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. I just want to read it again. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Did Michelle and I get rich because we started giving 10% of our income to God? I mean, in some ways, we're not richer than a lot of people in our community. We are so blessed, though, in so many ways, many of them that can't be measured by a bank account. I want you to experience knowing God more by trusting him more, pouring out to be filled up. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would give us the faith, the trust in you to say, I don't know where it's going to come from. Here is a number, though. God, I pray that you would mobilize your disciples in this community and whoever's hearing this from whatever community to say, I do believe God has a role for me in the accomplishment of this vision for the church, for the community. I pray, God, that you would release your resources, that you would release the feeling that people have of being strapped, and that we would follow biblical principles for trusting you with our finances so that you will be honored. and that we will know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. You're going to be able to learn more about the Overflow campaign on our website, newdaywi.com. At the top is a place to click Overflow. Learn all about it. Next week, I'm going to be asking you for a commitment. So take time to pray. And next week, I'm excited to see what God does in our midst. Go in peace.